Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to one more brand new week at Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and the phone lines are wide open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We invite you to call now with any Bible question or personal or family issue you might like to discuss. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're getting very close to our upcoming conference, October 15th through the 17th, and I know you're going to mention that a little later on in the broadcast, but I wanted to say something right up front.
Go for it.
If you would like to come and be part of a life-changing conference, we invite you to come. I know there's lots of COVID concerns, and you may be reluctant to register, thinking, if you do, the conference may have to be canceled, whatever. There's all kinds of possibilities, but I say let's not act in fear. If you want to come, go ahead and register. Come be a part of this event. It is going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
And I say that in the humblest of ways. The grace of God is spectacular. It truly is amazing. And when you see how this grace of God applies to your life and why it is so necessary and why it really is the life force for your day-to-day existence, you will walk away just with this heart of appreciation, with this desire to grow even more in the grace of God and to grow in your knowledge of Jesus. So don't miss this event. October 15th through the 17th. Go to basicgospel.net to find out more information. And certainly we're going to talk about that later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I wanted to let that be the preface to what I wanted to share today out of John 17. So this whole month, or the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be close to God, how that happens, how God brought it about through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ, through the regenerating work of God's Spirit, through the sending of God the Father of the Holy Spirit to take up residence in us.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. So we are close to God in location. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. You can't get much closer to that. We are also close to God in relationship. Before we knew God, before we responded to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus through faith, we were far away from God. We didn't have a relationship with God. He was distant to us. But now we've been brought near, and we have been brought into relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, Jesus gives us a little foretaste, or he gave the world a foretaste of what he was going to bring about through his death, burial, and resurrection in his high priestly prayer. This happened at the very end of his life, the day before that he was going to be handed over and crucified. And it's a prayer that was for his benefit, praying to God the Father. It was a prayer for the benefit of the disciples who listened. And it's a prayer that's of benefit to us today. So here we're going to see that God's desire, and his desire from the very get-go, was for us to be close to him, near to his heart, both in relationship and in location. So relationship we see in verse 3, John 17:3. Now, if you haven't underlined this verse, if you haven't memorized this verse, let me encourage you to do so. Why? Because it is the definition of eternal life. So Jesus says this right out of the chute as far as this high priestly prayer is concerned, and he says, "This is eternal life." Well, that's an important statement right there. What follows is going to define exactly what eternal life is. And this is how he defined it, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So here's the relationship aspect of our closeness to God. We know God and we know Jesus Christ. Now, we don't just know about them. It's not factual information. It's just not knowledge that we might have answers for a trivia game or something like that. No, this is heartfelt knowledge. This is true experience. This is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son personally and intimately, knowing that God is love, knowing that God has forgiven your sins, knowing God's presence in your very life. So we have this closeness to God given to us through relationship. This was always God's desire. We saw that in the garden and the creation story, how Adam and Eve walked with God day in and day out in the garden. There was this relationship, and the garden was the abiding place. That's where their closeness was experienced. That's where their relationship was experienced. Well, sin disrupted that relationship. Sin disrupted that resting place, that location where all of this took place. And now in the gospel, we have a new location, a new garden, so to speak, that is in Christ. We see this in verse 23 of this high priestly prayer. Jesus says this, "I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and I love them as I loved you." So we are now in Christ. Christ is in us. So back in the garden, it was God in the garden. It was Adam and Eve in the garden. And that's where this relationship took place. Now this relationship takes place in Christ. We were once in Adam. We've been transferred out of Adam. We've been placed in Christ. We were once in darkness. We've been taken out of darkness and placed in God's marvelous light. We were once in the kingdom of Satan. We walked by the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We have been taken out of that kingdom and placed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. That's our new location. That's the closeness that we have by location. And in that location, in that place, we experience relationship, a relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ the Son, all carried out through the transformative work of God's Spirit. So we're close in location, close in relationship. This is what God had in mind from the very get-go. This is what he's brought about now in Christ. And this closeness is yours right now and forever. You will never be as close to God as you are right now. So embrace it. Embrace this eternal life and live it to the full. Now, Bob, I did a video on this for our Basic Gospel Answers channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
And if you would like more information, like to see more on this, I encourage you to take a look at that YouTube. It's how to be close to God. It's a question that every human being has asked at some point in their lives. It's a question that every religion tries to answer. But there's only one answer, and that's found in Christ. In Christ, he's drawn us near through his shed blood, his reconciling work on the cross. In Christ, we have a new location. He is in us. We are in him. That's closeness. And we have relationship, eternal life, knowing God the Father, knowing Jesus Christ. That's closeness through relationship. And it's all ours by grace through faith in Jesus.
How to be close to God, the brand new video by Bob Christopher. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of it. Again, how to be close to God at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us today, friends. We would love for you to give us a call and be a part of this edition. You can do that by picking up that phone right now and dialing 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, just a quick reminder that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. So if you're listening on a regular basis and if what you've heard is making a difference in your life and your understanding of the Christian life, well, please help us out by making a donation. Please visit basicgospel.net to do that today. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, let's see who called over the weekend. Here we go.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura, and I'm calling from Stockton, California. And I'm having trouble understanding and digesting Romans 7:13. So if you could, when you have time, help me to understand, therefore, what did what is good become death to me? Absolutely not. On the contrary, sin, in order to be recognized as sin, was to become death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment, sin might become sinful beyond measure. I didn't quite understand what this is saying to me. So if you would help me understand it. Thank you so much, Father.
Well, Lola, thanks for your question, and it's an excellent question. So Paul, like in the first five chapters of the book of Romans, he has laid out the argument, the case for grace, and he brings a conclusion to us all that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we are all under that condemnation, whether Jew or Gentile. And then he says there's justification for us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that propitiation that he brought about through his work on the cross some 2,000 years ago. This enables God to be both just, and that he's dealt with our sin justly in the cross of Christ, and to be the justifier, that through the cross of Christ he can justify us and declare us righteous. That is the grace of God. And here at the end of chapter 5, he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So this raises all kinds of questions. Paul, are you saying that we should continue in sin that grace may abound? And his answer to that is a resounding no. Are you saying that the law is sin? Absolutely not. And then he says here, what then shall we say, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if I had not been for the law, I would have not known sin. So the law gives us the knowledge of sin. And then in verse 13, did that which is good then bring death to me? Now the law, as we understand in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is a ministry of condemnation. It's a ministry of death. But the law isn't the cause of that. The law doesn't bring death into existence. That is the direct wage of sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin is the problem, not the law. And that's what Paul is saying here. So if you are not feeling well, Lola, you're out of breath, you're having a hard time breathing, you just feel tired, you just feel fatigued, you just feel all these symptoms, and you decide it is time to pick up the phone and call my physician. So you make an appointment, you go see your physician, and you explain to him what's going on. And he asks a bunch of questions and tries to dig a little deeper as far as your symptoms are concerned. And then based on those answers, based on his experience, based on his knowledge, he says, let's schedule an MRI to see what's going on the inside. And you schedule that, and you go to that appointment, and they do what's necessary. They put you in that little tube. They bring you in, and you are X-rayed. And those X-rays are developed. They're sent over to the radiologist, who reads those and writes a report on that. And then that report is sent over to your physician. Your physician takes a look at it. He sees the MRI as well. And then he calls you in for an appointment. And he sits down and says, Lola, we've got some very horrible news, horrific news to tell you. The MRI has revealed that you have cancer going on in your body. And it's not isolated. It is metastasized and moved to different parts. So in essence, what the MRI revealed is the problem that was going on. And you could look at that, and somebody could look at that and said, hey, if I hadn't gotten the MRI, I would have never I would have never known. I could have just gone about my life. But this MRI, it's basically a death sentence to me. And you say, is the MRI the problem? Absolutely not. The MRI is simply a machine. And that MRI simply revealed, it gave you the knowledge of the cancer that was in your body. But the cancer is the problem. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Sin has always been the problem. Now, sin is an opportunist. It takes advantage of any opportunity it can to bring about sinful desires in you. And that's what sin did as far as the commandment was concerned. It took advantage of the commandment and produced every kind of sinful desire in you. But the law wasn't the problem. Sin is the problem. That's why the cross, that's why the gospel message says this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for the law. His death fulfilled the law. But the problem was our sins. Sin brought death. He who sins will surely die. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, guess what happened? They died that very day. They didn't die physically. Adam lived 900 plus years. Eve lived a long time. But they died spiritually. The life of God, that fellowship, that relationship that they experienced as a result of creation, that was lost. Sin's consequence took its toll on mankind. You and I, when we come into this world, we come into this world in the likeness of Adam and Eve. What is that likeness? Dead spiritually. Paul was very clear. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We need life. The law was simply a tool that God used to give us the knowledge of sin and to make that sin utterly sinful, as Paul said here, beyond measure. Sin isn't something to mess around with. We have a really complacent attitude toward it. We have a no big deal attitude. Oh, it's not going to affect me. It's not going to bother me. It's not going to take a toll on me. Well, good gosh, look at humanity. Sin killed humanity. All have come into this world under the condemnation of sin and death. There's only one solution, and that is the saving life of Jesus Christ. So no, the law is not the problem. The law is not sin. Sin is the problem. And that's why we have a Savior who has saved us from the very power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and one day when we get our resurrected bodies, from the very presence of sin itself.
And that is good news. That's when that gets here, that's going to be a wonderful day. Thanks, Bob, for that. And Lola, thank you for the question. We love hearing from you, our listeners. And friends, if you have a question, we would love for you to use the voicemail system if you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live. That number is always 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, from Cynthia, a question. Could you explain the difference between feasting and gluttony, both of which are described in the Bible? Is the difference a matter of the heart, as opposed to the actual behavior? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this topic.
Well, feasting doesn't have to mean overeating or just taking something to an extreme. There were feasts that the nation of Israel participated in. There were three times every year where all of Israel would come to Jerusalem and they would celebrate these different feasts, the Passover feast, the Feast of Pentecost, and then in the fall they would come in as well. And these times when they came to Jerusalem, there was some somberness to it as they remembered what God had done for them in their lives. But there also was this joyful celebration, and that's what feasting was all about as far as those feasts were concerned. It was the joyful celebration of what God had done for them and parting the sea and all of those sort of things. We have the Lord's Supper celebration, and it's to be a feast, a celebration as well, as we remember the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's joy for us. That celebration is joy. Gluttony, on the other hand, is perverting that. It's taking something to an extreme. It becomes a fleshly desire. And that's the difference between the two. Now, here's the good news. And I love that there's always good news us in any given situation. It is hard for us sometimes as human beings to be disciplined, so to speak, in our lives. We want self-control. We want more self-control. We don't want to fall into the Romans 7 trap of the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't do or I don't want to do, I do anyway. We don't want to fall into that trap. If only we had more self-control and we try to discipline ourselves through human effort. We try to become better versions of ourselves through doing more and being more and all of that sort of stuff. Well, let's stop and read the Word of God. And the Word of God says this, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh, and that we will experience the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is ninefold. So there's nine different aspects of the fruit of God's work through, in and through you, by the Holy Spirit. And it's this, that's love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, did you hear that last one, that next to the last one? Self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So if we walk by the Spirit, guess what we're going to be controlled by? The fruit of the Spirit, self-control, which will be for our benefit and the benefit of others. So I hope that helps. That's a great, great question. Let's go to
Guillermo.
Guillermo, who's listening to us in Fort Worth on our Great Dallas Station, The Word. Hey, Guillermo.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you. What's on your mind?
Question for you. I know of lots of teenagers during this pandemic that suffer from severe depression and anxiety, and many have been baptized and many want to get baptized. Does mental health issues like that keep them from being saved?
No, absolutely not. I think the gospel is more powerful. And if somebody, you know, this pandemic has brought all kinds of mental health issues to bear, has exposed those. And I think some of those are attached to fear and all the other things we as human beings just normally experience. And sometimes those get magnified through different circumstances. But the gospel message is more powerful. And if Christ saves us, then we are saved forever. We can count on that. We can rest in that. And we can be grateful for that when we're absent from the body. If we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That is the good news. That is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guillermo, we're almost out of time. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a resource that might be helpful to you, okay? Thanks.
Thanks for your call. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today. And thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. We're here every weekday only because of what you do. You give to support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could not be more appreciative of that. We thank you. We deeply thank you for that. And it's because of you that we are able to keep the message on the air and online. So remember, you can donate now or any time when you visit basicgospel.net. If you have questions when we're off the air, call the listener line and leave a voicemail for us. You'll hear your question or concern discussed here on the Basic Gospel program. And the number, of course, 844-322-2742, and it's available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be back with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.